Rabbi Schreier, Quaid Rashi HaYeshiva, my colleagues from the Histadrus Musmocha Yeshiva, Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, and fellow students in the Beis Medrash. Ich will beten Mechila bei der Rashi HaYeshiva, as if all my Shia sagen in English und nicht in Yiddish, weil ihr werdet dich erkennen in Englisch, wie sie kennen Yiddish. Wir mailen Musik reden in Englisch, der Teufel ist ein Klau. I don't know if any of you understood that, but if you didn't, it fully justifies what I said. I'm very grateful to be here at this moment, and if I had to signify a true inauguration of my tenure as president of Yeshiva, it would not be the investiture, it would not be a dinner that's going to take place. For me, it would be this moment. This year is dedicated to the memory of Moiri Verabi, a Goyen of Shmuel Belkin, Zechreinu Levracha, who was dear to me as a Rebbe. My first year that I came into when I came to this yeshiva was in Dr. Belkin's class. We learned Yevamos at that time. And who has remained for me ever since a kind of parent, a guide, a friend, and one whom I consulted at every single important stage of my life. It was Dr. Belkinzal who instituted these annual shiurim in honor of the yard site of Rabbi Yisrael Chanan. And so this shiur is in honor of the yard site. It's a double dedication of the yard site of the man for whom the yeshiva is named. I'll ask your indulgence if for a few minutes I tell you who Rabbi Yisrael Chanan was. Several of the Talmidim called me and said, we're having a shiur in the honor of Rabbi Yisrael Chanan. Who was he? So very briefly, he was a gadol, an unparalleled gadol, whose life spanned most of the 19th century or the last century. The last 32 years of his life, he was the Rav in Kovna. Kovna was one of the most important cities in all of Jewish Lithuania. And there, as a Rav in Kovna, he became the great Posek and the great Meshiv, the most renowned Meshiv of his generation. He was also Osek Betzorchei Tzibba. His great Sfarim, which became classics immediately, were the Tshuva Sfarim, Be'er Yitzchak, and Ein Yitzchak, and Nachal Yitzchak, and others. In addition to his greatness and Hayra, he was a Tzadik Adia, a man of great ethical sensitivity. I'll tell you but one story about him, Lezichro, and then we'll proceed to the Shia. It's told that there was a Rav in a small shtetl, who was a very fine Talmud Chacham. A man who was poor, burdened with a wife and many, many children to support. And he had in his town some bnei yeshiva who considered themselves bigger talmidei chachamim than the Rav. A situation which is not unknown to many of the members of the rabbinic alumni. And they took it upon themselves to harass him, to be mitzad him to the best of their ability. And once it happened that a yid and a woman came to him with a shayla and a chicken and he paskens his mutter, then they found out about it and they found that it's possible to say osa. And they harassed him, and he changed his mind. He said, Osa. So they came to the Balabatim, the Parnesim of the community, and they said, a Rav who has to change a psak on a chicken. It's a simon that he's not a Talmud Chacham, and he ought to go. And so they gave him a great deal of trouble, and he decided he had no one to talk to, so he would write a letter to the Goyen of the generation. He wrote a letter to Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, and he simply poured out his heart about all the difficulties that he was experiencing, not expecting Rabbi Yisrael Chanan to be able to do anything, simply the Oga Balev Ishi Sichena. And he didn't expect to hear anything. About a week later, he receives a telegram addressed to this Rav and this shtetl, saying about the shayla you asked me, the answer is muta, signed Yitzchak Elchanan Spekta Mikovna. Didn't ask him anything. 3 days, but he knew that in this little town, every telegram becomes public knowledge. 3 days later, he receives another telegram. Change my mind about the last psak. The din is that it's osa, signed Yitzchak Elchanan Spekta from Kovna. All right, let's begin. The Mishnah in the first part, the beginning of Perek Hamishi of Nedarim, talks about the problem of Shutvim, who have a chotzer in common. And they were neida hanoa ze mizeh. Each one said to the other, I make a neida that I may not have anoa from you. According to the Gemara, it's possible they also asked the other on himself. So each one said, I'm neida hana, I make a neida, I may not have hana from you or from your property. And they own property in common. So the Mishnah says, Hashvut shutvim shenodru hana zemize, partners who are neida hana one from the other, asudan likonais lechotza. The Rabbanan Chachamim say, that means that each one is forbidden to come into this chotza, because the chotza is owned in common. And since each part of a chotza is owned by both of them in common, and each one was neida hana from the other, so every time he has drisa saregel, every time he puts his foot down, he is really having hanor from his shutaf. Therefore, asurim likonas lachatzah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, ze nichnas latoch shelo, ve nichnas latoch shelo. Each one can decide that this part of the chatzah is mine, is going to be mine, and therefore I can come into it. And the other party says, the other part of the chatzah will eventually be his, he can come into it. What is the machlokas? So the Gemara in Bava Kama in Shor Shanoga Chesapora Daf Nunala from El Bey says that the machlokes is yesh breda or ein breda. You know, this is a sugya that's enormously complicated, which shows my foolhardiness in attempting it. But the great sugya of yesh breda. Breda means that when a decision is made later and originally there is a question, then huvrar hadovar lamafreya, then it becomes retroactively clear or apparent that this track was chosen and not the other track. If now I have options before me, I don't know which it's going to be, and later on a determination is made, yesh breira means huvrar hadov olamafreya. It's as if the choice were originally known. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, since eventually they're going to divide the chatza, then I'm allowed to come into a certain part now on the basis of that in the future, the division will be made, and it will be retroactively huvrar or apparent that this part belongs to me and the other part belongs to him. The Chachamim who say asurin likonas lechatzah, that forbid it, because they hold ein breira. They don't accept the whole principle of breira, and since we don't say breira, we cannot assume that the property is divided as of now. If it's not divided as of now, memela they were neida hana, and each one cannot step in to the other one. The Gemara at the bottom of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph begins to analyze what are we talking about when we say that these two shutvim owned a chotza in common. And there are two statements in the name of Ze'iri. Rabba Omar Ze'iri. Rabba says in the name of Ze'iri, Machloikes k'shiyesh po k'dei chaluka. Aval ein bo k'dei chaluka devre hakol mutam. In order to be cholek, to divide a chotza, there has to be a minimum amount that should remain for each partner. If there is, and that minimum amount is how much? Daladamas. Daladamas is your mukim, and if you have enough for daladamas, it's a chatza that you can grab hold of, it's substantial. So if you have a chatza that has 8 amas, that, and you have 2 shutvim, that's called yeshba kadei chaluka. There's enough to divide so that each partner will remain with his minimum amount. It is a divisible chatza. If you have less than daladamas per partner, if you have shnei shutvim, and you have only 4 amas, or 6 amas, or 7 amas, such that you cannot divide it, and that each one should remain with daladamas, that is called ein bo k'dei chaluka. So now Rabbi Amar Ze'iri says that the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim takes place when yesh bo k'dei chaluka, when you have enough to divide 4 amas for each one. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that since it is divisible, I go into my part, you go into your part. And the Chachamim say, no, if you have k'dei chaluka, then divide it first before you go in. Rashi says, since you can divide it, go ahead and divide it, and you don't have to worry about the problems of neida hana. But if ein bo k'dei chaluka, if you have less than daladamas per person, then you have no choice. It's indivisible. Since you have no choice, even the chachamim will be moided to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that ze nichnas latoch shelo v'ze nichnas latoch shelo, and the neida doesn't hold. This is Rabba. Amalei Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef disagrees. He says, that can't be. Now, mind you, according to Rabbah, if it's ein bo k'dei chaluka, Divrei Hakoil says muta. There is no machlokes. Now, Rav Yosef asks a question from the Mishnah that follows. And let me turn to that Mishnah for a moment and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, if two people asser themselves one on the other, you are asser to me and I am asser to you. I can't have anor from you and you can't have anor from me. The question is, what do you do with public property? After all, If we're part of a community, then all of us have a chelik in the community. And if I acid you on me, and me on you, then neither you nor I can partake of that public property. So the Mishnah says as follows. Shnehem mutarin b'davar shel olei bavel, v'asurim b'davar shel osa'ir. There are two kinds of property. There's one that's common to Klal Yisrael, and that is called davar shel olei bavel, that the olei bavel took on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and there is the kind of public property that is more restricted, is davar shel osa'ir. So the Mishnah says, Ezer davar shel olei bavel, what is called davar shel olei bavel, kegoin, har habayis va'azores, va'bar shebem sa'aderech, to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and har habayis belongs to everybody, and therefore, even if we asked each other, we are both allowed to go onto the har habayis. Ve'ezer davar shel osa'ir, what is called davar shel osa'ir, the more restricted, kegoin har achava, the square, va'amerchatz, the communal bath, Ubeis HaKnesses, the Shul, v'hateva, the Aron Kodesh, v'hasvarim. So what is the halacha according to this Mishnah? If we ask each other, we know the hanor from each other, we said kainam on each other, then when it comes to davar shel olei bavel, we're mutter. When it comes to davar shel osa'ir, such as Ubeis HaKnesses, it is mutter. Really what the, pardon? Asa. Really what the Mishnah means to say is that when it comes to property, there are two kinds. There is a kind that's plain shutvis, stam shutvis. Stam shutvis means we own this property in common, but the bialis of each of us is recognizable. We have an identifiable bialis, a bialis from CMS, and therefore, since I have a bialis and you have a bialis, if you acid me or I acid you, it's effective. Then there is a kind of property that's communal in which it takes on the nature of a corporate identity. It becomes a yochid. And each of us, although we have a share in it, we lose our bialis in it. It's no longer recognizable as individual bialis. For instance, har habayis, davar shel olei bavel. We're all part of the tzibur, but the tzibur has a separate entity. It has a yochid, an entity in its own right. It's a corporate entity. And each of us loses his recognizable and identifiable bialis in it. Therefore, I can't ask you and you can't ask me as part of this larger entity called the tzibur. This intermediate stage, the Beis HaKnesses, or davar shel osa'ir, you can learn one of two ways. Either this too has a separate identity, or it's stam shutvis. The Mishnah takes for granted that it is stam shutvis. That davar shel osa'ir does not have this corporate entity, such that it absorbs and dissolves individual bialis, but rather it is in the nature of that kind of entity where all of us are shutvim in it. Actually, I gave you a Mara Mekaymus of the Gemara in Yuma and the Rambam in Tumas Saras. I figure that I will not have time to go into it. Basically, this concept that a Beis HaKnesses is not a separate corporate entity, but a stam shutvis, an ordinary partnership, can be debated in the Gemara and Yumadaf Yudalef and Mebeis and Yudbeis and Medalef especially. It depends if it's a shul in a large city or a shul in a small town, Hadek Krochim, Hadek Forum. But the maskana of the Gemara in Yuma says, Ela machavat kedashaninan meikora. And it is clear, if you go over the sugya carefully, and again, I apologize for not having time to do it now, it's clear from the Gemara that the Gemara there goes along with the Mishnah, that a Beis HaKnesses does not have a halacha of a separate identity, a separate yochid in its own right, and rather it's a shutvis in which every partner retains his own identity. Now, on the basis of this Mishnah, going back, what did Abba say? Abba said that the machlokes of Abba Zeben Yaakov and the Chachomim, if you're allowed to come into, and not allowed to, the Chachamim said you're not allowed to, and the Blaz Ben Yaakov says zenichnas atach shalai vezenichnas atach shalai. So Rabbi said, when is this machlokes? Only in a chasa sheyesh b'kadei chalukah, right? But in a chasa sheim b'kadei chalukah, then everyone agrees that what? Muta, devar hakol muta. So Rabbi Yosef says, how can you say devar hakol muta if you look at the next Mishnah? Harei Beis HaKnesses, if you have a shul, the kamisha ain't by kadei chalukah dami. This is ain't by kadei chalukah. Because a shul, you can't split up. You can't say, I'll take my part and you'll take your part. So really, it's equivalent to a chasa she'ain by kadei chalukah. And what does the Mishnah paskin in ain't by kadei chalukah and Beis HaKnesses? Asurin likones. If it's asurin likones, then who does it come out like? Not like Rabbi Chachamim and not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So so it comes out like neither. So therefore the second Mishnah doesn't follow the first Mishnah, neither Chachamim nor Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to Rabbi Amar Ze'iri,
when it comes to a chaser she'ein bo kadei chalukah devar hakol mutar.
And the Mishnah here says also.
Elam Rav Yosef, and this is the Ikar. So Rav Yosef Amar Ze'idi has another interpretation of our Mishnah.
It says machlokes she'ein bo kadei chalukah.
This is very important. When is there a machlokes between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim? Only when there's less than daladamas for each one.
When ein bo kadei chalukah.
Aval yesh bo kadei chalukah, but if there is enough for everyone,
if there is daladamas for each of the partners, devrei hakol asa. Why is it asa?
Because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will say, if you have enough, divide it.
Amar Rav Huna halachah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov,
and Amar Rav Elazar halachah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the halacha remains like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov.
Now there are several very serious difficulties with this sugya.
First one is mentioned by Rabbi Tam, the Ran, almost all Rishonim.
All Rishonim wonder about this sugya. Because according to the Gemara in Bava Kama
we mentioned a few minutes ago, what is the machlokes of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chacham?
I'm breira. Yes, breira, ain't breira.
What did the Gemara just say here? What did Rav Huna just say? Who is the halacha with? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So what do we pass him?
Yes, breira or ain't breira? Yes, breira. Right? He says,
we pass Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which means that on the basis of the later haluka, we now assume that it's already divided. So everyone asks a very simple question. Many of you learned Beitzer last year, some of you with Rabbi Rucham are learning Chulam this year, and you've learned the sugya of Breira, so you know that the halacha remains that Mediyaraisa we say Ein Breira. So if the psak that's accepted throughout all of Shas and by all Rishayim, that Mediyaraisa Ein Breira, why do we say here that we pass on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that Yesh Breira? Moreover, there's another kasha. The kasha that the Ramban asked against the Rambam. Now, if we take this Gemara of Rabbi Yosef Amar Ze'idi, what is the equivalence? That Beis HaKnesses is like a chosa shel shutfim she'ein bo kadei chaluka, right? And therefore, the Mishnah of Beis HaKnesses, Dova Shalai Zeyah, comes out according to whom? No, according to the Labana. Because the machlokes in the first mission that we are learning now is a chosa shel shutfim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, muter likanes, achavim say, osa likanes. And what is the machlokes and achosa she'ein bo kadei chaluka? And the Mishnah of Beis HaKnesses, which according to Rav Yosef is ein bo kadei chaluka, says that asurim likanes. So whom does the Mishnah come out like? Like the Chachamim. The problem with the Rambam is that he paskins both sides of the dilemma.
On the one hand, he paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and achosa she'shnei shutfim,
k'she'ein bo kadei chaluka, he paskins that zenich l'satach shalai v'zenich l'satach shalai, namely like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
When it comes to the second Mishnah, he passes like the Star Mishnah
that a Dovasha, that two people who are kind of man,
Noida Hanazem is there, are suddenly Kones. They can't partake in the Beis HaKnesses and Dovasha Lo Yisya. So his Oiches is a Chevo B'Shnei Roshan,
he's mutually contradictory.
It's a tremendous Kasha. And
as far as I can see, there's no real answer on
Rishayna.
Incidentally, the Shechan Orach is also follows the Rambam completely. Paskins on an ordinary Chosa Shechnei Shufim and Chos Nadorim,
that it passes like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that mutaren zenech l'satach shalom, when it comes to Beis HaKnesses,
he paskins the Mishnah that asurin likanes. These are the two kashas to which I wish to address myself to, and I wish to do so in a manner that may appear somewhat strange by putting this aside for a moment and going to a completely different subject, which I believe will give us, I hope will give us, a new insight into the halacha of Breira. If you have the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, in the fifth perek of Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam lays down the major principle of Yahadus, the principle of free will, what we call Bechira Chofshis. Although, interestingly, the Rambam never uses that term. Never uses the term. Instead, and we're only going to read a few selections from these halachas because they're all important, the Rambam begins by saying, Reshus l'chol adam l'suna. Permission is granted for every individual. L'hatayis atzma l'derach tova. To lean in the direction of that is right, v'liya tzaddik. If he wants to become a tzaddik, harashus biyado, he's permitted to do so. V'im rasal ahatayis asma l'derech ro v'liya tzrasha,
harashus biyado.
Incidentally, why does the Rambam use the term rashus? Where does he get it from? From Pirkei Avos. Hakol tzofli
v'harashus nesuna. The language of the Mishnah for free will is rashus. Everything is foreseen, and nevertheless,
rashus, permission is granted.
So the Rambam says
that a principle of Yahadus is that a shus l'chol adam l'suna.
And he continues in Halacha Beis, Ayava b'machshavtecha dov hazeh
she'omrim tipshei um b'sa'olam v'roiv golnei b'nei Yisrael.
Don't be impressed with what most tipshim of the goyim
and most Jews whom he calls a goyim
say, she'akadosh baruch hu gozer ala adam b'tchilas b'riyosei liyosadik
ha'rasha ein adov hakein.
It is not predetermined that any individual will be a tzaddik or a rasha. It is left free
for every individual to do.
And in the next halacha, he says, "V'dova ze ika gadolhu v'hu amud ha'toyra v'ha'mitzvah
she'nemar
re'ein asati lefanecha hayoyim esachayim."
And in halacha, hey,
he comes to a very specific problem. Shema. Now, what do we say the Mishnah states in Perek?
Hakol
tzofui v'arashus nesuno. What's meant this? What does it mean?
It's a statement of a paradox, right? A question, really.
Or if it's a declarative statement, it's a paradox.
Hakol tzofi. What does it mean, hakol tzofi?
Everything is foreseen. The Rabbanan Shalom knows everything in advance.
Ureshus
nesuna. And we are free to do as we wish.
So the Rambam says, Shema taimar, he represents the clash, the apparent contradiction between hakol tzofi and reshus nesuna.
Shema taimar, ba'alei kodesh baruch hu yodei yakol ma shi'yeh. V'kaidem shi'yeh yeida shezei yeh tzadik ha'rasha le'ida.
Memonashach,
he says, the Rabbanan Shalom either knows that you're going to be a tzadik or a rasha, or he doesn't know. Im yeida shu yeh tzadik.
If God knows that you're going to be a tzadik,
yeh shashala yeh tzadik.
It's impossible for you not to be a tzadik. Then if he has foreknowledge
that you're going to be a tzadik, where is your freedom? V'im taima shu yeida shu yeh tzadik v'ef shu yeh rasha. If you're going to say, God knows you're going to be a tzadik, but maybe you'll be a rasha. Now look, he says,
that's not real knowledge.
That everyone knows that maybe.
So if the Rabbanu Shalom knows everything, if Hakol Tzofi,
if he has prescience or foreknowledge, then where is your freedom?
And if you have freedom,
if Rishus Nesuna, what happened to Hakol Tzofi? So the Rambam said, this is a very famous Rambam Dash, Etshuva She'ela Zu, Me Arucha Me Eretz Mida Rechava Mine Yam.
It's a very, very difficult problem.
V'kama Yikorim Gedolim V'Harorim Ramim Tluyimba. Many of the greatest principles of Yahadus depend upon it.
And here it comes to a difficult concept, and I hope you'll go along with me. It's important for the halacha. I promise you this is not a shiur simply in machshav, not simply. It's not a shiur in machshav, it's a shiur in halacha. But this is part of halacha.
Hilchos Tshuva too is part of halacha. What does the Rambam answer? He says, "Kvar be'yarnu v'perek sheni milchas yisodei haTorah, she'ein haKadosh Baruch Hu yodeya medeya shehu chutz mimenu k'bnei Adam she'ein b'da'atem shnayim." There is a fundamental difference
in this conflict between free will and foreknowledge.
There's a fundamental and absolute difference between the way human beings know and the way Kavi Yochel knows. With us, I, my essence, and my das,
my knowledge, my wisdom,
are not identical.
I am I, and I also have knowledge. It's a violation of Descartes.
I am I, and I exist, and in addition, I have a certain kind of collection of yedias,
or ability to know.
With the Rabbanu Shalom, he and his das are one and the same thing. You can't separate between the Rabbanu Shalom and his chachma. Who are yedaya, the Rabbanu says in Perek Sheni, Hichis Yisodei HaTorah, who are yedaya, who are yeduah, who are yedia. God is the knower, and the known, and the knowledge. And as he and his das are absolutely identical, they are a unity. In Cain says the Rambam, you can't even ask any kashas, because just as you can't know the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, it's lamala mikol hasoga, so you can't ask any questions about his knowledge, because if his knowledge is identical with his essence, then there's no way in the world that human beings can understand everything about the das HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't ask any kasha. How does the Rabbanu Shalom know in advance? And how does that not conflict with my reshus, with my free will? Very simply, you can't ask the question because you can't even speak of his knowledge in the way you would speak about human knowledge. If I spoke about a human being who knows my decision in advance, mele. But if you're speaking about Kavi Yochel, about the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the kasha falls apart. You can't ask any questions. And he says, the Rambam says, V'lo mipnei kabbalas hadas bilvad noida dav hazeh. This is not merely because it's by revelation, I know it's not merely dogmatic. Ella.
Can be proven philosophical.
And then he returns and concludes that the freedom of will remains and you are judged by your decision.
Do you understand the Rambam?
The Rav said,
this is not
This is not a wise way of saying it. So
the Rambam really is bringing us back to the original question.
So if he couldn't answer the kasha, he should never have raised it. Why did he bother people's peace of mind and bother them with philosophical problems if he has no solution? Nevertheless,
the Rambam still remains the Rambam. And I would like to
be masbe the Rambam, I hope in a way that will be understandable, by using a technique or a shita that was developed simultaneously by two Gedolei Yisrael, namely the Baal HaTanya and Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, when they were discussing one of the most difficult, one of the most esoteric subjects in all of Kabbalah, the problem of Tzimtzum, but that's irrelevant. They make the following distinction, which requires a measure of sophistication to understand. There are times that it would seem you have a contradiction, but there is no contradiction, because you have to look at a problem from two different perspectives. Mitzido and mitzidenu. From the Rabbanu Shel Olam's perspective, one thing holds true. But mitzidenu, from our perspective, a completely different thing holds true. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam will that we should know that there is mitzido, his perspective, but we have got to live mitzidenu. We have got to live from our perspective. You hear what I'm saying? And in other words, there is no clear and simple solution to certain problems. The more difficult the problem, the more difficult the solution. And sometimes you can't expect a human being, in fact, you should never expect a human being, to look at a thing from the Rabbanu Shalom's point of view. By definition, we're not the Rabbanu Shalom. Therefore, mitzido, one thing holds true. Mitzidenu, another thing holds true. When it comes to this problem of the conflict, apparent conflict, or the kasha, the stira, between Hakar El-Safa and the Shishna Sunnah, the answer is, from the point of view of the Rabbanu Shalom, who looks at things from the point of view of that being, that unique being, that Huvedatoy Echad Haim, Hakar El Sofer, he knows everything. He'll know who's going to be a tzaddik and who's going to be a rasha. Everything he knows. Mitzido. But he willed it that we have to look at life and live according to a Torah which is based on mitzidenu. Our point of view. And from our point of view, parashus nesuno, there's complete free will. Are you going to say there's a conflict? There is no conflict, because since we are two such radically, infinitely different entities, from the Rabbanu Shalom's point of view, Hakar El Sofer, we have to act from the point of view, mitzidenu, that harashus nesuno. And if you think I'm simply grafting an alien concept on the Rambam, then those of you who are interested can look up a source I did not give you, but it's the Meira Nevuchim, the end of Perek Chof of Chelek Gimel, in which he says almost these words without using this terminology. Now, what has all this got to do with Breira? So we've now interpreted the Rambam, as the Rambam says, that both are true. Hakol Tzofui, from the Rabbi Yisrael's point of view, and Mitzidenu, from our point of view, Harashus Nesuna. I believe that, to a large extent, at least from the point of view of the Rambam, the concept of Breira can be understood from the vantage point of Harashus Nesuna, from the question of freedom. Because if you analyze it carefully, the principle of Yesh Breira that we have throughout Shas really denies the principle of Rashus. It denies freedom. Because if you say Huvrar Hadovo L'Mafreya, that an act that takes place later, then Huvra Hadovo L'Mafreya, that all along it was meant to go in that direction, that means that really all along my thinking at the moment that I was doing something, that I had an option, I didn't really have an option. That it was only meduma, it was only illusory. That when I had a choice of going one way or another way, or doing this or doing that, then I say that later on something is going to happen. And because of that event, Huvra Hadovo L'Mafreya, that means all along was going to happen that way. That my thinking that right now I have an option of doing it way A or way B is an illusion. And that what's going to happen later, therefore, has to happen later. It's as if it were a gzeira, it had to happen that way. So when I say Huvra Hadovo L'Mafreya, I'm denying the fact that there is any kind of free choice that I have to make. For instance, take the classical case of it's Erev Shabbos, and I know that there are two towns. Each town is 3,000 amas from where I am now. How far can I walk on Shabbos? Alpayim amas. So I have to put an Erev down. And I know that there's a chacham coming to give a shir or a drosha on Shabbos, and I'd like to hear him. I don't know if he's coming to this shtetl or to that shtetl, Mizrach Amarev. So what do? I put down two Erev, one in Mizrach and one in Amarev. And if I say, if the Chacham is going to come l'Mizrach, then Yehei Eruvi l'Mizrach. If the Chacham is going to come l'Marav, Yehei Eruvi l'Marav. The next day I discover that the Chacham came l'Mizrach. So if I say Yesh Breira, so I say Huvrar HaDavol Amand, the Chacham comes l'Mizrach, Huvrar HaDavol Amafreya,
that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, which determines where the Erev is going to be, was the Erev of Mizrach and not Lamarev. If I say Yesh Breda, that means I go Mizrach. But that means that if I say Huvra Hadovel Amafreya, that my doubt now is not a doubt, it's only ignorance, and that really all along it meant that the Chacham is going to come to Mizrach. So right now, there is no Rashus, and when the Chacham finally comes to Mizrach, he himself had to come to Mizrach. But Huvra Hadovel Amafreya means that in effect, there was no free choice. So if I say Yesh Breda, that means that even though I may think that I don't know, or I may think it's up to the Chacham, it's not that I don't know, and the Chacham didn't make up his mind. Huvra Hadovel Amafreya, it was Hakoyel Tzofer. So that when I say Yesh Breda, it denies Rishus. When I say Ein Breda, it means that I affirm Rishus. Therefore, the opinion, the Shita, or the Svara, of all those opinions, I say that Ein Breda hold, because if I'm going to say Yesh Breda, I deny Rishus Nesuna. Rishus Nesuna is a halacha like every other halacha. And therefore, because I want to preserve Rishus Nesuna, I have to say Ein Breda. I want those who are going to do who say Yesh Breda. Many can say that they will say that Yesh Breda, the whole concept of Hurva Adovel Amafreya is only a halachic on Mitzad Adin, even though Mitzad Amitzias, there really is freedom. All right. Now, the Rambam and all other Rishonim, almost all other Rishonim, pasken that midiraisa ein breira. That means, if you follow our Svara, that they assert the halacha of Rishus Nesuna, and that's why they say that ein breira. However, and here we come to the point that I think will answer our major kasha. What's the Svara that they say ein breira? Because I want to make sure that the act that will be happened later on will be considered, as it should, a free act, Horashus Nesuna. But that's only true if the act that's going to happen later on, the Maisa that's going to happen later on, is clearly one that can be considered a free act, where there's a choice. But if the act later on, under any circumstances, is forced, if it's Mukhrach, if it's not contingent, it's not free, but it's a coerced act that has to happen in a certain way, because of Mitzias, because the reality is such, then I no longer have a reason to say Ein Breira. And I no longer have a reason to go Mitzidenu. And then I have to revert to Mitzido. Because if the act that's going to happen later on is not free under any circumstances, under any conditions, then the whole reason for saying Ein Breira falls off. So I no longer have to look at these things Mitzidenu, but I can really revert to Mitzidai. And Mitzidai, Hakol Tzofui, and everything is determined anyway. Mele. Now, if you go to our Mishnah of Shnei Shufim Shenadu Hazna Zemizeh, according to Rabbi Yosef Amar Zairi, what is our Mishnah talking about? What circumstance? Kishayim ba, kedei chaluka. The machlekes of Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim is kishayim ba, kedei chaluka. But now, if it's a machlekes, it's kishayim ba, kedei chaluka, then there is no choice. Because if there is no daladamas for each party, so they really have no choice that they can make. I take one part, you take... There's no part. Lesson Daladamas, by definition, isn't really a decision. It's not substantial. It's not a mokim. It's not a chotzer. You cannot divide it. The Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka means that it's muchrach ben kol veicho. There's no free decision to be made. If there's Yesh Bo Kedei Chaluka, so you can take one part, I can take another part. The problem is, who's going to take what part? So Yesh Bo Kedei Chaluka, when there is a decision to be made, I'm forced to say Ein Breira, and if I say Ein Breira, therefore Asurun Likonezel Ezeh. But if it's Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka, then you cannot make a decision. Since you cannot make a decision, I go back to say Yesh Breira, and that's why that I'm a pasuk of Blazer Ben Yaakov. Because this concept of Breira is different from every others. Because if the whole concept of Breira depends on the free choice of Rishus Nesuna, that may be true of Chacham Balair or other cases of Breira. But in our case of Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka, there in effect, according to the Metzias, the reality of the situation, there is no Daladamas L'Kol Echad, and therefore I cannot say in this case Ein Breira, and I can go back to say Yesh Breira, and that's why he paskens the halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But where there is Kedei Chaluka, there obviously the Rambam will pasken that Asurun Lehikones, as in fact he does, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will also be Maida, because since it is possible for them to divide the territory, you get one side, I get the other side, therefore there is a free decision to be made, and therefore the Shus Nesuna, therefore Ein Breira, and we have to come back to look at it, Mitzidenu, and that's why the halacha is clear. Now, in this principle, in this halacha, that Yesh Bo Kedei Chaluka Asurun Lehikones, are you all with me on this? I hope. Now, In this halacha of yesh b'kadei chalukah, asurim lehikones.
There's another machlekes rishayim. The Rashba and the Chidushei HaRashba
states that
if yesh b'kadei chalukah, asurim lehikones
is true even after the b'chalik.
Even after the partners divided, each one took his chalik.
Even afterwards, the asurim lehikones.
Because once we said that asurim lehikones, is also even afterwards.
The Rambam
passes differently.
The Rambam says that asurim lehikones only until the chalukah. Once the chalukah was made, mutarim lehikones.
What's the svara of the Rambam?
According to the svara that I propose, it's very easy to understand.
As long as it was before chalukah and yesh b'kadei chalukah, why did we say asurim lehikones?
Because there was a free act that had to be done. The partners had to determine who goes where.
As long as you had to make up your mind, you can no longer say huvra adava l'mafreya, because that would negate the principle of reshus nesuna.
But once the decision is made, there's no longer any freedom. If I am free to go to the Bais Medrash or go to for lunch, and I decide to go for lunch, there's no longer any freedom. I made up my mind.
A decision once decided is no longer free. It's closed at that point.
So once the partners were chaylek, or they divided the chatzah, at that point that they divided the chatzah, there's no longer a question of the ability to make up their minds. So it goes back. So you no longer have the principle of reshus nesuna. You no longer have the principle of reshus nesuna. Then
mutarim lehikones zeh lezeh.
Zeh tashalei vezeh tashalei. So what the Rambam really is saying is that since the whole concept of breira depends
upon the principle of reshus nesuna,
therefore, as long as yesh b'kadei chalukah and there's a free decision to be made, then the principle of yesh breira holds that freedom is open in the past and in the present. But once the decision is made, even the future is closed, because there's no longer any decision to be made. Now, in order to answer the stira between the Rambam and the Rambam, what is the kasha that we ask? So far, we understand why the Rambam, according to the Rambam, we can understand why he paskins ein breira kol haTorah kula and yesh breira here when it comes to nedarim. I'd like now to address myself to the second kasha. The Rambam here has a blatant stira. On the one hand, he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that ba'ein bo kadei chalukah v'chatzar ha-shutfim zenich l'satach shalo v'zenich l'satach shalo. And then he paskins like the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, that says v'dova shalo yisiyah beis ha-knesses asurim lehikones. So the kasha was, if you recall, that according to Rabbi Yosef amar Zeiri, the halacha of beis ha-knesses, Mishnah of beis ha-knesses, is directly equivalent to chatzar of shutfim that ein bo kadei chalukah. And whom does the second Mishnah come out like? Like the Chachamim. So the Rambam passes like the Blazer ben Yaakov, and he's passing like the second Mishnah, which is the Chachamim. It's mutually contradictory. How can he do that? I'd like to suggest that the Rambam is meforish this sugya, explains the sugya the way that Yosef Amar Zeiri does, that the Mishnah is talking about Ein b'kadei chalukah, but he doesn't accept his reasoning. Lo'im itami. Because according to Rabbi Yosef Amar Zeiri, as we said, the whole Mishnah, the whole sugya of Beis HaKnesses, of Dovah Shel Oseiyah, is directly equal to the Chatzah of Shnei Shutfim. And because of what we said before, it's not a corporate entity like Har HaBayis. If it isn't, it must only be equal to the same as Chatzah HaShutfim. And therefore, the Stam Mishnah comes out like the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and not like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But according to our Svara, the Rambam understands the machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim k'she'em b'kadei chalukah on the basis of Perek Hei of Hilchas Tshuva of Hakol Safi v'Rashus Nesuna. And therefore, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we said b'em b'kadei chalukah, because here there is no problem of Rashus Nesuna. But the problem is, Rabbi Beis HaKnesses, even though we say that it's Deime l'chatzar ha-shutfim,
he passes like the Stam Mishnah.
And nevertheless, I maintain that there is no stira. Why?
Because, as we said, the svara of the Rambam, in which he passes Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov,
is because of reshus nesuna,
and
here there is no reshus. Therefore, it's hakel tzofui. Therefore, we say yesh b'ri.